The question today is, what do you mean by spiritual crutches? I've mentioned that from time to time in some of my message, and so therefore there's the question asked, what do you mean by spiritual crutches? Well, a crutch is something you lean on. It's a prop to help hold you up. I know when I was a boy, we had a building, the old hay barn, I remember, when we moved to where we was at in 1950 over in Tennessee area. I remember the old barn was sort of rotted out. Didn't have a foundation. It was sitting on some rocks and really on wooden blocks that had rotted and deteriorated, and the barn was leaning real bad. And so what my dad did, he took some long poles and cut them, probably Sasser's poles, and cut them and put them up against that barn on one side, propped it up to keep it from falling down. And so when we're talking about spiritual crutches, we're talking about someone who's trying to lean on a crutch. You see, the Bible says that when you're saved, you're on the rock. That's the solid rock, Jesus. And when you're on a rock, you've got a sure foundation. You don't need a prop. You don't need a crutch. But I know from my own experience, I had many spiritual crutches that I went through during those times that I was a church member and wasn't saved. I let people tell me that I was okay, and that was a crutch. Well, the preacher thinks I'm okay, so I must be okay. And so therefore, I let him do that. I propped on that. I remember the time I went to my pastor, and I was about 22, something like that. I don't know exactly when it was, but I told my wife one day, I said, I don't know whether I'm lost or whether I'm saved. And she said, let's go talk to our pastor. So I went over there, and I told the pastor, I don't know whether I'm lost or whether I'm saved. And then he said this. He said, well, Brother Edgar, he said, my last pastorate, there's a girl came to me, asked basically the same thing, or saying basically the same thing. And then when I got through talking to her, I had more or less assured her that she was saved. And she wrote me back 8 years later and said, I just got saved. And this pastor said, I promise God, Brother Edgar, that I would never do that again. And then this is what he said, but Brother Edgar, you go to church 3 times a week. You pay your tithes. Basically, you like me, and many of them don't. He didn't say it in those words, but that's what he was saying. My old spiritual suspenders popped out. Pride lifted up. The preacher thinks I'm saved. I propped on that, and I went on that. Now, what would have happened had he dealt with me like I try to deal with people? I try to pull the crutches. I don't need a prop. You don't need a prop. You need the rock Jesus to stand on, steadfast and sure. That Psalmist 40 and Psalm 40, the psalmist said, I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry and brought me up also out of a horrible pit and set my feet up on a rock. You don't need a crutch. You need the rock Christ Jesus. And so, therefore, I propped on that. Now, what would have happened had He dealt with me right? If He had said, let God finish a work in you of Holy Ghost conviction. Let God show you you're really lost. I pray a lot of times, Lord, if I'm lost, save me. You're not going to get saved that way. You'll never get saved till you get lost. And I'm talking about experiencing that lost, and that separation from God. That's God showing you that you're not saved. You're separated from God, and sure, you deserve hell. But folks, He's going to show you Himself, the righteousness of God. He's hidden in the bosom of the Father right now from you, but the Holy Spirit wants to reveal Him to you, and He will through the work of Holy Ghost reproval as He convinces you of the righteousness of God, John 16:8 and verse number 10. So therefore, props is what I propped on that and went for years. I went for several years. And then there come a time that I got to a place to where I really didn't know a lot of things, had a lot of doubts and upheaval, but I stepped in light one day. Then I went to a place where there was the power of God, and folks, the gift to preach got stirred in my life. And I want to tell you, I went home with a desire to preach God's Word and began to pray that I'd be able to, that God called me to preach. And I was in a successful business at the time, had it made from the world's standpoint. Just worked and labored for 5 years and 3 months in the business, and really it was just at the point of just about really the break-even point to where I'd really go on and make a good living the rest of my life in this business. But I began to pray. The Lord called me to preach, and the Lord had a definite call one day. Oh, it was so real. And I surrendered 10 days later in 1973, and after that I was only back in my home church, I think about a Sunday before I was called a pastor of church. Had 5 members. And so here I am, pastoring the church. Boy, we was going great guns for God. I went to some Bible conferences, and I didn't want to practice that easy believism or raise your hand, repeat after me, but I'd still practice the Romans 10:13. And we had 109 additions in 6 months. Boy, we were setting the world on fire. We were going to build a super church. We'd heard about the super churches that was built by different people, and they influenced us into that. Thought we was doing God a favor doing that. And really as sincere as I knew how to be. But yet and still, all of them, not one of them was saved. Not one of those 106 were saved. Not a one. I look back and see there's no fruit in their life, no fruit of the Spirit. The Bible says, by your fruit you're known. But during that time, we had a meeting one time, and this man, as he preached one night, he was preaching about the wells of salvation. He didn't even tell about his own experience and what he had been through. But as he preached about, hey, if you're saved, you've got a well. You don't need a cistern. You don't need a water pot like the woman at the well. You got a well that's sunk in your soul, and you get a drink of water anytime. He said most people just have a cistern and it's cracked, and you got to get water from the outside source. So you got to go over to this camp meeting or this church where the power of God's at, and you drop your bucket, so-called, over into that well and draw a little bit of water and pour it into your cistern to get a drink. And it lasts for a little while, but then it's cracked and it runs out. Well, that night there was a spirit of conviction that came over the entire congregation. I don't believe there's a saved man in that building or a saved woman in that building that night. And we were packed to the wall. Little old building probably holds 125. We was packed to the wall, and yet I believe the preacher was the only one that was saved in that building that night. But a spirit of conviction came over that. That night we got home, and I was in the bed, and my wife said, I don't know whether I'm saved or not. And I said, I don't know whether I'm saved or not either, but I know I'm called to preach, and I know God doesn't call a lost man to preach. I was propped up by preconceived ideas. I mean, I'd been heard that all my life. God doesn't show a lost man anything. Folks, I want to tell you, God does a whole lot for lost people. And He can call a man to preach. He has in the Bible. He called Judas Iscariot. You say, well, that's a different situation. And he called Jeremiah. You'll say, that's the Old Testament. But I found out one day he called Paul. Read his testimony in Acts 26, and you'll find on the road to Damascus, Paul knew that he was going to have to preach the gospel, and he had to count the cost for 3 days. Philippians brings out the cost being counted, Philippians 3, and he was on the street, called straight for 3 days, and he counted the cost, and he finally come to the place to where he said, I'm willing to give up everything and count it but dung that I might win Christ, which means to be saved. He was not yet saved at that time. How do I know that? Acts 22:16, Ananias came and said, arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Baptism doesn't wash away your sins. It's calling on the name of the Lord. And he was not yet saved. No matter what you believe about that scripture, he was not yet saved because his sins had not yet been washed away. And yet he knew 3 days earlier that he had to call. He was called to preach, had to carry the gospel to the Gentiles. And so, folks, I found out, as God showed me some things, God can call a lost man to preach. And that blows people's minds, I understand. But one day I had a man, as I preached in a camp meeting, I preached about being lost, preaching for 8 years lost. Man came to me and said, how did you preach lost? And I said, you got about an hour, I'll tell you. And I could tell this man was propping on his call to preach, just like I had done those years back there. All those 8 years, or not all of them, but most of them, propped on that call to preach, a spiritual crutch, trying to prop me up that I'm saved because of this. And it doesn't match the truth. My ingredient, I had nothing. There wasn't anything in my salvation experience. But yet, I still thought I was saved, but preconceived idea. So this man, as I talked to him, I realized he was propping on his call to preach. So I reached and kind of spiritually and got his props and pulled them out from under him and told him some things. Power of God was moving in that conference that day. And so he went over, and we went over to where the meeting was at because we was in the dining hall of the place. And we went over to where the meeting was at. And he came back to me 2 hours later, and he said, I'm lost. I told him what I tell anybody. Don't tell anybody unless you have to. In other words, that's the first thing I tell them. You say, why do you do that? Because there's so many people you tell. If they don't understand, they're going to try to make you prop back up on something, give you a spiritual crutch to prop you up, because it makes them feel better if you prop it up. Because after all, if you're lost, they may be lost, is what many of them would think and say. And that's probably the case many times. And so as a result, they try to prop you up. And so this man said, he went home, and I said, don't tell. But he told his pastor, and his pastor said he understood. I hope he did. I don't know. He made a profession the next Sunday and called me after services on the next Sunday and said, I just got saved. And I saw him about a year later, and I said, well, where are you preaching at, brother? And he said, well, I found out I didn't even have a call to preach. You see, the devil gave him a call when he tried to deal with salvation. He tried to twist it to where he had a call and gave him a spiritual crutch to prop on. And so there's so many people today that's propping on those such crutches as that. And God showed me that's my ministry, to try to help people who are propping on crutches. See, I propped on answered prayer because John 9 says a man God doesn't hear a sinner's prayer. The lost man said that to a group of lost people. And Acts 10 very clearly says the angel told Cornelius, who has lost, thy prayers have been heard. So you see, you propping on those things is wrong. You shouldn't prop on spiritual crutches. And there's so many things. People say, I'm baptized. My mama was a good mama. People, you'd be surprised what people are depending on for their salvation experience. They're prop. And that's a spiritual crutch. And folks, that spiritual crutch will drop one day when you have to face God at the great white throne judgment. Of course, before that, you'll be in hell. But more than if you're not saved, you'll be in hell. And then he'll call you out at the great white throne. And you'll say, but Lord, have I not prophesied in thy name, preachers? Have I not cast out devils in thy name? And have I not done many wonderful works? Lord, I had answered prayer. Lord, I was baptized. Lord, I went to church. Lord, I tithed. You can prop on many, many things. It's works. And salvation is not of works. Salvation is of the Lord. And they're spiritual crutches that you're propping on. But you better be careful, because you see, those crutches will break one day at the great white throne judgment. They'll not stand. They'll not hold you up. And so therefore, you don't need to prop on those spiritual crutches. You need to stand on the rock. You need a rock. And of course, you see what the Lord's going to tell everybody who's got those spiritual crutches that day. In Matthew chapter 7, he said, then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, you workers of iniquity. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. And just for a case you believe in being saved and then being lost after you're saved, that's not so. That's unscriptural. Amen. We've got messages on that. But just in case you believe that, the Greek in Matthew chapter 7 there, verse 23, it says, I never knew you at any time. You never were one of mine. It doesn't mean that you're saved and then lost. No, you never were saved. And why? Because you're propping on spiritual crutches. And people. You prop on people. Well, he thinks I'm saved, or she thinks I'm saved. Mama thinks I'm saved. The preacher said I was okay. The preacher will tell you, well, I was there when you got saved. I believe you're saved. It sounds good to me. Folks, you don't need anybody to give you assurance. You need the gospel to give you assurance. And if you don't have it, you're not saved. You need to be saved. And that's why my ministry is, and that's why I'm here. I understand where you're at. I understand what it's like to prop on a spiritual crutch and needing the rock all the time. So contact me. I'll be your friend. I'll stay with you. I'll love you where you are, and we'll stay with you until you come through. This is Edgar Lee Pascal, host of Ask the Pastor, saying good day to you until we meet again on the air or in the air. May the good Lord bless you is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.